Tonight with Lester Kibbett on Cape Talk.
Now, last week we brought you the conversation with two documentary podcast producers, Rasmus Beats and Neo Rakhajani. They are busy, or they've produced the podcast series on focusing on the assassination of anti-apartheid stalwart Dulcie September. That podcast has received quite a lot of downloads on our side, so we thought we'd get them back in and maybe on a weekly basis look at what's coming on the next episode. Now, in 1988 in Paris, five bullets ended the life of Cape Town-born liberation movement activist Dulcie September. The questions that are being asked: why was she killed, and who profited ultimately from her murder? And it's these questions that are asked by that documentary podcast series produced by anti-corruption lobby group Open Secrets and a company called Sound Africa, looking at the murder of Dulcie September. Tomorrow, the second episode will be released, and it draws listeners closer to some of the reasons why September may have been a target. Let's listen to the trailer of that second episode.
Gradually, you know, she became a bit afraid. She said, no, I don't want to stay any longer next to children. I don't want anything to happen to the children.
It's a soldier's job to kill. When he's threatened and when the system that he's defending is threatened, that is the response.
You know, the time for talk in South Africa was over. It would have to be warfare or the threat of war. But it would have to be that.
I was gripped for about 25 to 30 minutes or so by that first episode released last Thursday. The next episode being released on the Open Secrets website, a non-profit NGO looking working as an anti-corruption lobby group. With me in studio is one of those producers, Rasmus Beats. He's in studio giving us a preview of episode 2. Firstly, Rasmus, how was that first episode received? 25 to 30 minutes was almost too little for me. I wanted more.
Well, you're going to get more. So that's the good news. We've got like probably another 7 episodes. So it'll be around about like 4 hours altogether for the story, which is actually, compare that to a movie, it's quite a lot of time.
And there's a lot of info that gets thrown out at you. And as you said last week, your aim is not necessarily to solve the murder of Dulcie September, but more ask the reason why it was done. And you're starting to lay that groundwork. What else is going to be coming up in the course of the next few episodes that gives us that insight, not only into the murder of Dulcie September, but also the workings of the apartheid government, the ANC in exile, and what linkages, if any, are there of these clandestine, ominous arms dealer groups that seem to be quite involved in the story?
Yeah, so we sort of think of the story a little bit like a spiral, and sort of at the middle of that spiral is Dulcie, where she was murdered in Paris. And then the second episode, which will be released tomorrow, both sort of literally but also figuratively, we move out to the next sort of circle to see, because we start by the assassins saying, okay, she was killed, but assassins are actually kind of not really the reasons anybody gets murdered. They are a tool. Somebody hired them. So we sort of move outwards, and the episode actually starts at the scene where Dulcie lived. And that is in a suburb of Paris. I visited there like last year, and I saw this little plaque on the building where she lived that says, Dulcie September used to live here. And
is that the plaster? Plaster Dulcie.
No, that's not there. This is like a sort of a almost like a social housing block, very modest place. Like, you get the sense that she's definitely not living a lavish life of luxury. And the only thing sort of to remember her there is this little tiny square where her birthday or the day of her death, and something in French, which I sort of like made out. I don't speak French, but I made out that it meant that she'd been murdered. And then on that plaque, it says she was murdered by apartheid. But I mean, what does that mean? Like, murdered by apartheid?
It is quite broad.
Right. And so that's sort of where we start the second episode. And we say, what does it mean to be murdered by apartheid? And actually, the answer to that doesn't come fully in episode two. It's one that we keep working at. But the point sort of is that the assassins, the ones that pulled the triggers, they've been hired by somebody. But why? Mm. Who had interests in hiring assassins to get rid of her? Mm. And what we're starting to reveal or to find out in episode two is that Dulcy apparently was afraid. Like, one part of that story is that she used to live in this like flat above a school, and she talked to the mayor of the town who had granted her that flat and said, I want to move because I'm afraid. If anything should happen to me, I don't want the children to get hurt.
This is obviously, you know, if you're looking at the history of apartheid era assassinations, you look at Ruth First, assassinated in Maputo in 1982 by a letter bomb. Mm-hmm. Letter bombs and little parcel bombs or phone bombs were quite used. So I can understand that that anxiety living close to a school around children. If a bomb like that were to go off, it would be more than just Dulcy would be hurt.
Yeah, and remember, she was also a teacher herself. So she probably could, you know, relate even closer to what that might mean. Mm. And Ruth First also isn't the only one, right? Mm. There were also Jeanette Skuan in Angola, whose daughter Katrine was killed as a bomb exploded in their home. And that happened just a couple of years before. Mm. So maybe that was what was on her mind. Mm. But why would she think that? That's the question. What was it that she was starting to maybe figure out that led her to believe that she might be at risk?
Last week was the launch. Last Wednesday was the launch of They Killed Dulcy. Thursday, the first episode. What has been the response? Have you had any response from maybe people in the ANC, in the former liberation movement, saying, you know, thank you very much for keeping the story alive, or thank you very much for reminding me, or from ordinary people saying, I actually didn't know about Dulcy, and this is the first time I'm actually hearing about her story? Mm.
I mean, the most important answers to me or responses to me has been from the people that were connected to Dulcy. Because, you know, when you make a story about somebody else's life, you sort of, you know, kind of grab into something that's not yours. Mm. So you really want to do it well. And at this event we did at Community House in Salt River, one of the people there was Dulcy September's nephew, Michael. Mm. And he thanked us for it. And I think he enjoyed it. He did this little, message from the family. And then we had one of the characters that is quite prominent in episode one and two, which is Betty van der Hayden. She's an activist herself, was actually the person who got Dulcy into the liberation movement all the way back in like the 1930s and 40s when they were growing up. And 50s, I suppose. But she was there, and she actually started explaining some of bonus info, and she was like a real life example of some of the many people that, you know, it's kind of weird to think about, but they, you know, walk amongst us here, you know,
no,
people who have like sacrificed a lot in the struggle, and that, you know, we probably just see as like an old lady in the street.
You interview some very interesting people, one of them being Craig Williamson, a self-confessed apartheid assassin, applied for amnesty, received it on condition that he admit to his crimes. Any interviews from senior members of the ANC that are still to come, remembering that Dulcy September was the most senior ANC representative in Paris. She was the most senior person to be assassinated in Europe. Any comment that is still going to come, or any reflection from her party or her movement, ANC, in future episodes?
Yeah, there will be. We haven't finished the series yet, partly because we also want to, well, partly because, you know, we haven't finished that. And the other reason is that we also want to keep things developing, like open for developments that might happen. Mm. And they actually are developing. And maybe we speak about that some other time.
I'm looking forward to that.
But like, for one of the people that we have interviewed is Aziz Pahad, who actually was the person that Dulcie reported to in London at the time. And what's quite interesting is that there is a certain dynamic there where not just Aziz, but like actually several people who were her superiors in ANC at the time said that Dulcie actually contacted them and said, I need protection, I don't feel safe here. And what's an interesting sort of message that a lot of people then, or justification maybe we can say from that time, is that people are saying, well, we just thought that, you know, she was probably just being hysterical, she was just, you know, a drama queen or whatever. And then, you know, she turned out to be right, quite fatally for her, right? And that's actually, as I've interviewed all these many people, and Neo has as well, and the archival documents, one of the really interesting things that come up is this kind of pattern of Dulcie as a person actually very often being right and pointing out some really fatal flaws in like a safety system or risks that might be at her, and people won't listen to her. And then, well, excuse my French, but shit hits the fan. And one of the things that we're also going to address later on in the series is why that might be. And that, for example, speaks to the cost of being a woman in exile, being a woman in a liberation movement that, you know, had its element, its elements of what can we say, like chauvinism, that that Dulcie actually also really stood up for.
Just finally, Rasmus, if people, this obviously has piqued people's interest, where can they go download it from tomorrow?
Tomorrow they can go to our website, soundafrica.org, or to opensecrets.org.za, or just find Sound Africa on Facebook or Twitter, or go into whatever podcast app you use and search for Sound Africa, and it's right there.
Rasmus Beats there, one of the co-producers of They Killed Dulcie, previewing the second episode of this gripping real-life true story about the assassination of Dulcie September.